matter how tough it gets, I know I have an anchor. Amen. Well, this morning, I do have the privilege of sharing the Word of God. And one of the things I'm always mindful of is you've got two eyes looking at you. But I've got a whole lot of eyes looking at me today. And I'm always mindful of that as I pray, as I seek the Lord. And the Lord always reminds me that it's not by might nor by power, but it's by His Spirit. Because today I can't do this without Him. Without Him, I don't care how many times you stood in the pulpit to preach the Word of God, you don't do it in your own strength, I would surely fail. I would surely embarrass myself. Trust me. But with God, all things are possible to him that believes. Amen. I've been thinking several days about this moment and about the graduates and what I would actually be able to implant within their hearts today. But not only them, but things that would not only minister to them, but to the church. So this is what I feel like God laid upon my heart. We're in the book of John, chapter number 16. And several verses of scripture we're going to read to you today. So the title of today's message is Practical Ways of Living a Christian Life. It's very important today that we live a Christian life. If you look at the word Christian, they were first called Christians at Antioch. There was something about the characteristics and the nature of those that followed Jesus around. They took on the imagery of Jesus. Now let's stand and go to the house. Wouldn't that be good? Just kidding, but wouldn't that be good if we would take Christian and Christian living to heart? That we would take on the imagery of Jesus and live our lives by the ethics code and the moral code that we find within the chapters of the Word of God, particularly in the New Testament. And that is what Jesus taught them. But here's the great news about this. You don't have to do it by yourself. You don't have to do it on your own. We know that it's not by works of righteousness that we have done. There's not a person in this room. Well, let me just re-say that, because I don't want to stigmatize or stereotype anyone. So let me just rephrase that. I don't know of anyone this morning that could live good enough by themselves to say they were a good Christian. Because I know us. I know the Church of God. And for years and years and years and years and years, we built our whole religious experience about what we did, about our works, and about everything that we did. And preachers would preach about how you need to do this or you need to do that. There's a lot of good scripture that says by grace through faith that we're saved. And it's God's grace that we're saved. But yet also by God's grace are we saved. God has given us something, even in today, that we all need to be able to live this Christian life. To be able to live a life that is pleasing unto the Lord. And it's called the power of the Holy Ghost. The power of the Holy Spirit. And here's one of the things, again, that we've got to understand. That we in the Church of God for so long, we only equated, or we only pushed on the emphasis of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. And I do believe in that, and I know that is extremely important today. But yet in the same regard, it is very imperative that you and I live by the Spirit in order to live or fulfill the walk as a Christian. And that is where Jesus, again, when he began to talk to his disciples, and this is so good, and I hope that it resonates with you the way it resonated with me, that you don't have to do it by yourself. As the young people that are here today, as there's an influence over your life today, and I just say it the way I feel it, I often do that. You're filled with something. You're filled with yourself, you're filled with the devil, or you're filled with the Holy Ghost. You're filled with something. Something's influencing your life. Something is motivating you, and you're either pulling towards God or you're pushing away from God. And see, the good news is Jesus told them as they were His disciples that they didn't have to do it without Him. Jesus, of course, we know the Scripture. We know all that the Scripture entails there. Jesus crucified, and these disciples did not know yet what He was talking about, and they did not know what was going to transpire and what was going to take place. Jesus, here He is. He's been with them. He walked with them. He trained them. He ate with them. He broke bread with them. And then all of a sudden, Jesus left this word with them that He was getting ready to depart. I mean, it's like a best friend telling you, I'm leaving you. Could you imagine the sorrow that was left behind? Could you imagine the pain or the anguish, the void, the emptiness that was going on the inside of you? But here's the good thing. Jesus comes back, and Jesus says this in John 16, because that was in John 14. I want to look at this in the Scripture, because in John 16, verse number 7, Jesus said these words. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. Again, when you begin to read through this, it's like all these question marks. You ever seen a little cartoon with a man's head and a question mark above his head? This is what was going on here, because they were trying to figure out just exactly what it was that Jesus was saying. And Jesus in the Scripture was telling you, as you begin to look at this, He said, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. It is profitable. It is necessary for you that I depart. Now, again, you know and I know, we know, looking back at the New Testament, because except there be the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Jesus knew it is expedient for you. It is necessary for you that I go away, because except I go away, you have no chance of being redeemed. You have no chance of being saved. And Jesus knew all of that. But it's so awesome to know today that when Jesus went away, he told them in the Scripture, and again in John chapter 15 and verse 16, He said, but when the Comforter is come, I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me. The next verse of Scripture is verse number 8 of chapter 16. And when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. When you look over the page in verse number 13. Again, when you look at this, we look in verse number 13, and He says, howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. And he shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come. Verse 14. And He shall glorify me, and He shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore, said I, that He shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and you shall not see me. And again, a little while, and you shall see me. Because I go to the Father. Stretch your hand this way and pray for me. Father, I love You today, and I thank You so much, God. I thank You so much for the power of the Spirit. I thank You, Heavenly Father God, for Your goodness. I thank You, Father God, for Your mercy. I thank You, Heavenly Father God, for what You are doing in this church, even right now. And I thank You, Heavenly Father God, that we don't have to do this alone. Father, we don't have to do it by ourselves. It's not by our works. We don't have to conjure it up. We don't have to do anything, Father God, to make it happen. Father, You said that You, Lord God, would put something in us called the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, that God, that we would be able to live for You, that we would be able to live a life pleasing unto You. So, Father, I pray, God, that even now that You'd help us to be found faithful as we endeavor to do Your work and Your will. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. I begin to think about our students today and what typically we talk about on a graduation Sunday. One of the things that I think about is education has taught us many things. All of us that are in this room, we have a different set, a different skill set, if you will. It would be unfair for me, for Sarah to ask me to cook her a cake. Very unfair, Sarah. But anyway, if I were to ask Sarah to do something that my skill set is, I'll use me as an example, Sarah. Me and you were having this conversation, or Lizzie, whichever. It would be very unfair of me to tell you that I want you to go, you know, get a 1/8 welding rod and I want you to weld that frame together. You'd go do what? Now, I know Sarah well enough, she'd say, okay, let's do it. She'd knock it out, you know. I know her that well. But I said that to say this, that education teaches us a lot of things. I'm thankful that I got people around me all the time that knows how to do computer stuff and does computer stuff. It's not that I can't do it and I don't know how to do some of it, but I can only go so far on a computer and then I have to hand it to Sherry or somebody that can do it. I can't do all that. But I said all that to say this, that no matter what our educational skill set is, we can all be filled with the Spirit. We can all understand that when we walk through this life, that it is very important to you and it's very important to me of how that even in the Scripture there are practical ways that you and I can live a Christian life. And I said that to say this, that young people today, it is very imperative, and I thought about this, just my own life experiences, and as difficult, as hard as it's been at times to get through life, I have never had a difficult time living for Jesus. Come on, somebody. I've never had a difficult time making decisions that has to do with Christian living. You say, well, you're one of a few that live that way. No, I started on a very straightforward position as a very young person. My wife and I did. We both got saved in our teens, way before we were married. And you say, how can I live the life that you're talking about, preacher? How can I live that life? I'm going to tell you something, friend. It has been a very satisfying life. So what is the first point that I want to make this morning to our young people and to those of you that are living or that are here today that wants to find out practical ways of living a Christian life? Number one is this. The Bible explicitly says in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 18, the Bible says in the Word, and be not drunk with wine. There it is, Scott. There's it plain and simple. It's non-negotiable. We don't get drunk. We don't get intoxicated by alcohol and I didn't even get an amen. Great goodness. We don't get drunk on the intoxicating things of this world. We don't put ourselves in a position to be intoxicated by the things of the world. But the Bible says here in the Word, wherewith excess? Well, a little bit of drinking. Well, we won't even get into that right now. I'm stirring it up. But here's the whole thing. The Bible says, but be filled with the Spirit. How are you going to live a Christian life in the year 2023? But I want to be popular. I want to be in the crowd today. I'm going to go ahead and just tell you up front. If you're going to live a Christian life today by moral standards and biblical standards, you might as well get over this thing of trying to be the most popular kid on the block, because you're not going to be. But I had whole lot rather have favor with God than favor with man. I had whole lot rather hear God say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I had whole lot rather have the applause of God than the applause of man. And the only way that we can do that is by being filled with the Holy Ghost. It's important today that we be filled with the Spirit. Number two, when we begin to think about being filled with the Spirit, the next thing is we got to get our walkie and our talkie lined up together. There's an old Southern gospel song that talks about the walkie-walkie and the talkie-talkie. We have a whole lot of talky-talky, but I'm not so sure we have a whole lot of walky-walky today in the society that we're living in. You ask most people today, are you a Christian? And they're going to shake their little head, yeah. And they're going to say, oh yeah, I believe. And the devils believe and tremble. But my friend, that's not what I'm talking about today. I'm talking about living a life filled with the Spirit and walking for Jesus every day. Somebody says it's hard. It's not hard when you're filled with the Spirit. It's not hard when you're filled with the Holy Ghost. And that's why we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Because it's not by works. It's not by man's own power. But it's by the Spirit of the Lord. So he says in the scripture, first of all, we've got to, if we're going to live today with practical ways to live a Christian life, we've got to be filled with the Spirit. Number two is simply this. We've got to walk by the Spirit, under the influence of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. There's a couple of scriptures there that we can look at. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Why is it imperative that you walk in the Spirit? So that you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Somebody said, well, what's going on with that, preacher? You've heard it said before, and I'm going to say it again. Somebody said inside of every one of us, inside of every man, woman, boy, and girl, it's like, Sandra, there's two dogs. And these two dogs are always fighting. A black dog and a white dog. And somebody says, well, which one of them dogs is winning? Whichever one of them dogs you're feeding the most. Whichever one you're feeding. If you're walking by the Spirit, you're going to live by the Spirit. But the Bible says that we're to walk in the Spirit, under the influence. Let me use it like this. We need to be intoxicated by the Holy Spirit. Come on, somebody. We need to be intoxicated, not by wine, but we need to be filled. We need to walk by the Spirit. All throughout the Scripture, Jesus promised that. When you look in the Scripture, he says, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I'll get more into that in a minute. Verse 17 goes on. He said, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these two are the contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Practical living for a Christian. We don't say much about this, and it's not in my notes nowhere. But sometimes we just need a good old-fashioned sanctification. Sometimes we just need a good old sanctification that talks about being set apart. And I'll be honest with you, when your heart's right with God, when your heart's right with God, you have one desire. And that one desire is not to feed the flesh, not to feed the lust of the flesh. Are you listening, young people? Are you listening to me today? You say you're old. I'm not as old as you think I am. But here's the thing. I've been through a few things. And it just starts out as a little bitty thing. It's just a little here and a little there and a little test this and a little try that. And before long, you'll end up in places and positions that you never thought or imagined that your life would be so messed up. And there comes a time in a young person's life that you've got to have a standard. And that standard has got to be walking by the power of the Spirit. Once we get filled with the Spirit, we got to walk it out. The third thing is simply this, and you can tell I'm trying to hurry. The third thing is this. And I love this one because it's truth. And I've got to turn to a few of these because this is probably one of the most important ones that I will tell you here today. Number three is simply this. Refuse to get involved in the trap of other men's sins. Refuse to get involved in the trap of other men's sins. It's been a long time since I've been a teenager. Don't laugh. It's been a long time since I've been a young person. But young people today, they are intensely under scrutiny. They're intensely, if you will, under the pressure of pleasing the peers that are around them. Why don't you be the peer? Why don't you be the leader? Why don't you learn to say no at an early age and you won't be influenced by those that are around you? Can I get real today? Thank you. See today, this is the way it starts. Because a crowd of young people and one in the crowd will smoke a cigarette. And you want to be cool and you want to fit in the crowd. And before long, what used to be in their pocket is now in your hand. And before long, you'll want another one and another one. How do you know that, preacher? Can I tell you a quick story? I won't take long. That's the way it was on the school bus with me. These seniors that rode the school bus with me, I was in about seventh grade. And they would throw me across school bus seats, just beating the tar out of us every day, and nobody'd say nothing. That teacher, bus driver, just driving. We're back there having total chaos, throwing each other across bus seats, going crazy. And this one guy in particular, he always had a can of Skoal, always. First thing he done when he got on the bus, tapped that can, opened that can, and got him a big chew, and I kept watching him. Guess what, Russell? You got it. Before long, can I have some out? He said, yeah, I want to see you turn green. I did. About two times, and then I was hooked. I could tell you his name. I'm not going to do that. But it happened so subtle. Did it not happen with Eve in the garden? Here's some of the greatest advice I'm going to give you today. Young people in priority, learn to say no at an early age. Learn that when that guy's trying to entice you to do things that you should not do until you're married. Was that a good way to say that? Learn to say no. Because if that jackleg cared anything about you, he wouldn't be trying to do anything to you at that time in his life. They don't care anything about you. All he wants is the lust of the flesh. All he wants is what he wants. He's not caring about you. He's not caring about your future. He's not caring a thing in the world about you. So the third thing is refuse to get involved in other man's sins. When you begin to look at this in the scripture, Ephesians actually talks about this and a few other places. I don't have time to read every bit of this, but you can look in Ephesians chapter 5 and you can actually go all the way down to verse number 11. I'm going to actually just go there real fast. And it says this in verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Do like Joseph. Joseph, Potiphar's wife, stole his coat. Hey, honey, look, he just kept on trucking. You can get another coat, but you can't get your innocence back. You can't get back what you've already done. Hello, somebody? So again, when we think about this, we need to be filled with the Spirit. We need to walk in the Spirit. We need to refuse to get involved in the trap of other men's sins. The Bible teaches us in 1 Thessalonians again, and it talks about this, is that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 22 and 24, he says this, abstain from all appearance of evil. You know what that means in country boy lingo? Get away from it. Get out of town. I mean, you know, don't participate in it. It's just plain and simple. This is those things that teach us practical ways of living a Christian life. Do not become participators in other men's sins. But he says, abstain, get away from. But it's a pretty apple. I'm not saying in the garden it was an apple, but it's a pretty apple. Look, Adam, look what I found on the tree. Here, Adam, this is really good. It'll make you wise. It'll make you just like God. Here, Adam, just take the apple. That's the way the devil does. Here, just try it. Here, just try it. Here, just try it. Here, just try it. And if I had time, I'd talk about other things. But anybody that would ever do anything to you that you know good and well that goes against your moral convictions, hey, stay away from them. But I need a friend. They're not your friend. I need a buddy. They're not your buddy. I need a pal. They're not your pal. So here again is verse 23. It goes on to say, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray that God, your whole spirit and soul and body is preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The next verse, real fast. When we look at this, we see faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. God will protect you, and God will put his spirit around you. James chapter 4, verse 7 again says these very words. Submit yourself therefore unto God. Again, when you look at this, not to get involved, refuse to get involved in the trap of other men's sin. This is what he says. Submit yourself therefore unto God. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. How do you overcome temptation? How do you overcome the things that the enemy's trying to get us to do as people today, as young people today? He said it right there in that verse. You yield yourself over to another. You use the word submit. Is you yield yourself over to the care of and the authority of another. And I don't even need to get off on that this morning as far as the authority, because so many people today refuse authority. They refuse allowing people to sow good seed into their life. Let me move fastly. James 4 and 7 again, submit yourself therefore unto God. Resist the devil and he will flee. Fourth thing is simply this. There's three dangers that you need to avoid. Three dangers primarily that you need to avoid when you begin to look at the Word of God. 1 John chapter number 2, verses 12 through 17. Verse 12 says this, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven, forgiven you for his name's sake. Verse 13, moving quick. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, he covers it all, because you have known the Father. 14 says this, I have written unto you, Father, because you have known him that is from the beginning. And I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. 15, love not the world. I've given you all this instructions through fathers and sons and children, and I've given you all this instruction. He says to not set your ambition on the things of the world. Don't set your passion on the things of the world. It's okay for you to have things, but it might not be okay for things to have you. There's nothing wrong with having nice things. But it is wrong if those nice things become an idol to you. Over anything you ever put before God becomes your idol, whether you know that or not. Your dog can become your idol. Anything can become your idol if you put it before God, because it'll eventually rob you of everything you own. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Look at this, verse 16 and 17. For all that is in the world, now here's the three things that you've got to avoid if you're going to live again, live a Christian life and a godly life. First of all, he says that you have to avoid the lust of the flesh. Hello? Some of these things right here need to be thrown in a trash can. Because these things right here, young people, they'll trap you. We didn't have these growing up. Ours was on paper. Anybody older, as old as me, you know what I'm talking about. These things will trap you. It'll take you places that, and whether you mamas and daddies know this or not, this thing right here will go anywhere. Around the world, you can see anything that you want to see on that right there. And sometimes I think mamas and daddies needs to know what their kids are doing. I'm talking about children. Not just hand them a phone and say, there you go. It's dangerous. It's real dangerous. If you have to hide to look at it, you need to throw it in a commode somewhere. No, don't do that. It'll stop your commode up. You need to crush it and throw it in a dumpster. Take a sledgehammer to it. If you have to go in secret to look at this right here, you got a problem. You got an issue. I'm just letting that sink in a second. I'm not at a loss of words. Because it'll get you in trouble. Lust of the flesh. Another thing is the lust of the eye. Right here, the eye gate. That's the gate to your soul, the window to your soul right there. And I don't have the statistics in front of me, and I don't have all of that in front of me. I didn't intend to have all that in front of me. But you put a big old beautiful peach cobbler in front of me, and you talk about how good a peach cobbler is, and you dress that peach cobbler with some Breyers vanilla bean ice cream, man, I'd just about start salivating. Because I see it. I can almost taste it because I can see it. Are you with me? Now, I don't reckon that's sinful. I don't reckon peach cobbler sinful. Might be for a diabetic. I'm just kidding, Brother Steve. Some things you need to flee from. But you get my point. Third thing, when he talks about this, is pride of life. That's what happened to the devil. I'm an untouchable. I'm invincible. I got this. I'm the big man. I'm the big boy. I don't need nobody. And you walk with your chest bowed out like you're something. No. The Bible teaches us to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God in due time. He will lift us up. That's what happened to the devil. He built himself up and he needed nobody. He said, I'm going to ascend above the throne of God. I'm going to take God's praise. I'm going to take God's place. Those three things right there, my friend, are dangerous. The fifth thing is this, and I'm trying to hurry through this. Fifth thing is simply this. So what have we talked about? We talked about being filled with the Spirit. We talked about walking in the Spirit. We talked about refusing to get involved in the trap of other men's sins. We talked about avoiding these three things. No compromise. Stay true to yourself and stay true to God. James 1, 12 through 15 says this really, really fast. Verse 12 says this. He said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Verse 13 says, let no man say that when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Verse 14, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away. Drawn away by his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Fifth thing. I love this and more than any. The fifth thing is simply this. Check your heart once a month at least. Not me, wrong. Check your heart daily. Daily. Check your own heart. Simply means take an inward look and to see where you're at with God. The Bible says, well, I'm glad you said that, preacher, because the Bible says, judge not lest you be judged. You're not my judge, preacher. I understand that. People say stuff like that every now and then to me, every now and then. And then I talk about what that really means, and I talk about, you know, it's not my place to judge because I don't sit in the seat of authority over top of you that I can pronounce sentencing upon you, so I'm not to judge you. But I can tell you the truth of what God's Word says. And to tell you the truth of what God's Word says is my only desire. But we ourselves, we've got to check our heart daily. Take an inward look. I remember when I was reading out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we're not going to turn there, but even before the communion and even before taking the Lord's Supper, he says, let a man examine himself. You cannot lie to God. You can fool some of the people some of the time, but you'll fool God none of the time. God knows the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. He knows that. But before he plays, here's the thing. Here's the good thing about it. All these things I mentioned, you don't have to do by yourself. Because I started where I want to finish. We have the Holy Ghost. We have the Holy Spirit. And I've got just one more little thing that we're going to do. It's a very important thing today. But this is what he says. I'll send you the Holy Spirit. And when the Spirit of truth, first of all, he's the Spirit of truth. This is verse 13 of our text, is come, he will guide us. To practical ways to live a Christian life is that we have the Holy Spirit to guide us. And he will guide us into truth. He will not speak of himself. The Holy Ghost will always speak of Jesus. He will always lead us to closer to Jesus. And then he says that he will not even talk of himself. He says whatsoever things he hears, that will he speak. He will point you in the right direction. And then he will show you things to come, prophetic things. This is when Jesus was talking to his disciples. They were going to see things that were to come. And that was the crucifixion. That was the things that they were going to have to go through. Everything that Jesus, we know looking at the scripture, that Jesus told them, you're going to see these things and you're going to know these things. So when he comes, he's going to glorify him. And then when we look at this, he says, and he will receive of mine instruction from Jesus, and he will show it to you. I don't know how you feel today, but I'm glad that we have this comforter, this paraclete, this one who is called alongside to help, that'll lead us. That'll lead us into a lifestyle of pleasing God, a lifestyle that'll honor God, a lifestyle that God will be pleased with today. That's my desire, is to see you and I all make it to heaven. I want to make it to heaven. But as I journey along, I want to please him. Real quick, five things. First of all is this, we got to be filled with the Spirit. Number two, we got to walk by the Spirit, under the influence of the Spirit. Number three is refuse to get involved in the trap of other men's sins. Number four, avoid these three things that I mentioned, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And number five is to check your heart daily. Amen. As you sit, I want to pray for you today. I want to pray for this church. I want to pray for our graduates. I want to pray for the people here. And then we're going to take new members in right here in just a few minutes. So Father, we love you today and we praise you and we thank you, Heavenly Father. I thank you, God, for the word of the Lord that quickened us. The word of the Lord that instructed us today. The word of the Lord that give us instructions in righteousness. The word of the Lord that points us in the right direction. The word of the Lord that points us in the direction that we're to go. Now, Father, I pray, God, that you'd touch this congregation and these young people today. Help us, Heavenly Father, God, that we would be found faithful as we endeavor to do your work and your will. Lead us, Heavenly Father. Guide us, Heavenly Father. Speak to our hearts today, Lord. And Father, we ask you this in the name of he that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we would ever ask or think. In Jesus Christ's name, amen and amen. I hope that helps somebody today. I hope it helped us in our Christian walk. Amen. Just last week, we talked to those that wanted to become members of the local church, and I want today for them to come. I'm going to read